Doug, I know you've done some homework here. This is, you know, I didn't mean to, but I really put you to work for this episode.
We did, but it was fun homework. And it was neat to look back and see, you know, where it started, where it came from, how it's grown, and how it's changed, but not necessarily changed, if you know what I mean.
Bringing together all the members, bringing together all the vendors, bringing together all the educational opportunities, bringing together all the networking opportunities. Those basic tenets make prime time work for everybody.
Last time we did one of these, we had a lot of awesome feedback from members, from other staff members at Nationwide, our fellow employees here at Nationwide, about how, you know, it was a fun experience for them to go down memory lane and take a look back at, you know, the history of this organization, its roots in retail, and kind of where we came from as an organization, you know, constantly with this mission of supporting the independent retailer, our members, and this channel, and you know, making sure they have all the tools they need to have success as an independent business owner, and you know, whether that's now or into the future. And so we wanted to do that again. Of course, you'll remember last time around I had Mr. Doug Marsh, my colleague, our content director here at Nationwide, and that's, you know, who did most of the homework, you know, pulling up all the facts about the early days of Nationwide Marketing Group, and did the same. You know, I put Doug back to work again, and this time, you know, we're gearing up for our first ever virtual prime time for members of Nationwide Marketing Group, and figured, you know, with such a historic year, historic event even, you know, you could boil it down to that ahead of us. We wanted to take the chance to look back at prime time's past, and even before that, you know, Nationwide, you know, obviously we're coming up on our 50th year, and this will be in essence our 57th prime time, but you know, we have twice a year some 30 some years of prime times to almost 30 some years of prime times to look back at, and even before then too, as we'll come to find out. And joining us, a guy that's, you know, has seen it from both being a staff member of staff, an employee of a member of Nationwide, to now being part of the Nationwide team for a number of years, Mr. Rick Weinberg joins us, and you know, it brings a lot of perspective to, you know, what's going on, what has gone on at prime times, how it's evolved, and that sort of stuff. So a really awesome conversation, one I've been looking forward to. We've had it on our calendars for a while, so excited to finally get, you know, on the line with these guys and talk to them and learn a lot, hear a lot of great stories, hear about how this show has evolved over time. But really at its core, it's been the same. It's really been about helping members and giving them the tools they need, giving them access to the vendors they need to talk to get product and all that great stuff to, you know, ensure they have everything they need to have success in this space. So I think we've teed it up pretty well. And so let's just go ahead and dive into this episode of the Independent Thinking Podcast with Mr. Doug Marsh and Mr. Rick Weinberg as we dive into the history of primetime. All right, we're back on the Independent Thinking Podcast and setting up for, I think, a really awesome episode. Probably my favorite episode, don't tell any of my other interviewees, since episode 6, which, Doug, I think you'll remember that one. Now we get to do it again, and we're joined, so of course, Mr. Doug Marsh, our content director for Nationwide, and joining us today, Mr. Rick Weinberg, our Senior VP of Business Services. Rick, appreciate you taking some time out of your day and joining us.
Thanks. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah. So this, like I said, a cool opportunity. We're talking here. We're about 50 some days, I think, as we sit here away from October 27th, which, you know, if you're listening to this, that date should ring a bell because it's the start of our first ever virtual prime time. You know, a really unique year. I think we're all living kind of through unique times right now. But, you know, an opportunity now with prime time, a historic prime time ahead of us, to kind of take the chance to look back and, you know, at the history of this show, you know, which I know has a history that goes prior to primetime, which we'll dive into. But, you know, Doug, I know you've done some homework here. This is, you know, I didn't mean to, but I really put you to work for this episode.
We did, but it was fun homework. You know, I'm okay with this kind of homework. like Rob was saying, it was a lot of fun to dive into the history of Nationwide. That podcast we did was really neat. the company, the foundation of the company, and learning about where we came from, that we're rooted in retail, and it was member first then, it's member first now, was awesome. And so it's really cool to come back to say a part two and look at Primetime, which is another huge aspect of Nationwide. It's another, you know, another great thing we do as an organization. You know, members, vendors, all of us come together. It's really cool. And it was neat to look back and see, you know, where it started, where it came from, and how it's grown and how it's changed, but not necessarily changed, if you know what I mean. Right. So it was a neat homework assignment you gave me, Rob.
Well, that's what I try to do. It's not in my job description, but you know, maybe as a podcast host, you know, doling out homework is something. So we can add that to the resume. But
right.
No, starting there, I kind of want to, you know, you touched on it a little bit, but there is a history prior to Primetime that I think would be, you know, there's some members for sure that have been around, you know, with us since the pre-Primetime day, since the, you know, we're not only, you know, thinking about looking back on the history of Primetime, but looking ahead a little bit, 50th anniversary is coming up. So I'm sure, you know, there's some members that have been with us for these 50 years, and they might remember what a time pre-Primetime was. But for those who don't know, what, you know, where did we come from with the show, with this event, and how did we get here?
Sure. Yeah. So, as we talked about, you know, Nationwide kind of comes together with these, you know, seven independent retailers, and you know, in 1971, and as they through the 70s, they organize more, and you know, we get, you know, Lee Gutman as the president of Nationwide, and they then start to come together and have these, you know, meetings, regional meetings, sales meetings, that sort of stuff. We've got a great shot from some of the history of Nationwide. You can see it here. It's from a meeting in 1977 in Phoenix of, you know, one of the, you know, the Nationwide members, Nationwide TV and associate members coming together to meet. So, you know, as far back as the 70s, when the company was becoming together, the members were, you know, they were meeting, they were going over sales training, they were networking, they were doing all those things. A lot of times, you know, they would meet around, say, trade events. So let's say CES were going on. Hey, let's get together at CES so we can do some buying, but we also get together and network with each other. We can do some sales training and that sort of stuff. So that dates back all the way into the 70s. So, you know, the humble beginnings, so to speak, of Primetime started way back when the company did. And, you know, those meetings would continue, you know, as the membership grew, as the organization grew. Throughout the 70s, throughout the 80s, they were coming together. And so just as, you know, as companies are, there was technically a Nationwide TV and Appliance Associates and a Southeastern Business Association that were, you know, the two main, you know, organizations there Nationwide. And they would have regional meetings and stuff like that. But as we got into the early 90s, they decided to partner and put on a convention of their own, so to speak, where they would bring in some of this product and some of these trainings and these networks. And, you know, they were going to call it a partners in profit, coming together, you know, bringing in, you know, vendor partners as well. And so in, I think February of 1992 in Orlando, Florida, the two organizations, Nationwide TV, Appliance and Associates, and SEBA, came together for what, although, you know, not technically called Primetime, was the first, you know, Primetime-like event they had done as a group. And it fed into what would officially be a theme of Primetime the following, you know, later on the summer in August in Dallas. And so we date that back, that Dallas meeting, where they used the theming Primetime with the two organizations as the first official Primetime.
Wow, that's awesome. It rolls off the tongue a little better than what was the other, the come together
partners in profit.
All right.
Partners in profit.
Primetime sounds a little nicer, a little cleaner, even if it was just the tagline. Nice to see that kind of evolved into the title of the show.
Yep.
But
it does. But, you know, like you say, you know, it was just, you know, it was no grand theme or anything. It was just the theme of the show. And here
cool.
We are, you know, 56 shows later. Still Primetime. It's great.
And now, Rick, I know you bring a unique perspective to the table, because if I correct me if I'm wrong, but you were a member of Nationwide prior to being on the, is that right?
I was on the staff of a member of Nationwide.
Okay.
Doug's recap is great. He's very thorough and very accurate. It's helpful to know that Nationwide Marketing Group was really a more modest-sized group with larger regional players. And SEBA, the Southeast Businessmen's Association, had more modest-sized players. But they already knew then what we still know today, and that is as the industry changed, our members were going to need to compete and have the scale to compete against other large retailing organizations, and scale mattered. The ability to help a vendor make their month, make their year mattered when we were going to need to ask for the kind of products and programs, promotions, resources and tools the members needed. We didn't call them Amazon or Home Depot or Lowe's at that time, but we certainly knew the word Sears, and we certainly knew about other large independent retailers, some of which were or were not with Nationwide, and everybody had to compete with them. So scale mattered. So they were meeting and having meetings in the 70s and the 80s as individual organizations. But when they came together for that partner and profit meeting, it was a chance and an opportunity to pull together and demonstrate their scale, and then get in return for that scale, the kind of programming from the vendors, the kind of purchase orders from the members that delivered value across the board so that members could grow their businesses profitably, vendors could find great value and offer the members real advantages that allowed them to grow to the next level. So Doug covered it really well, but that's why Partners in Profit existed. And I recall, and I'm pretty sure that was the first meeting like that that I personally was at. And at that time, I was still with the retail member.
Wow.
And I recall plenty of funny things happened at the meetings. We'll mention a few later. But I recall that I was with a large retailer at that time, a member of Nationwide. There was another large member retailer at Nationwide at that time by the name of Best Buy.
Oh, wow.
And I took a picture with the wrong person, and I got home and was told that you shouldn't have taken that picture. We're not talking to them. Okay, great. It was a lot of fun. It was a big meeting. It was the first big meeting like that. And I will tell you that it was an opportunity to learn and understand our business and to shake the hands of many of the vendors and see their products and see their booth that you wouldn't normally see. And that was the profit and partner meeting. And in the short years ahead, that became the foundation for what would become the primetime meetings.
The awesome thing to hear about that, though, is that even from those early days, the pre-primetime days, education and talking and idea sharing was always part of this. It almost like we haven't really talked about the product side of this. And I know it was important to get the programs and whatnot, but it really was about, it sounds like it was about the idea sharing and how do we compete in this retail environment against these bigger stores and, you know, these, you know, outside threats to independent retail.
Well, if you go back to Doug's initial statement, you know, Nationwide came into existence because seven retailers were scratching their head and said, we got to learn how to sell at these other prices. We got to compete there. So that didn't change. It was a matter of, even for those seven, figuring out how to scale their efforts together to get the products, the programs, the pricing, the promotion, and all the tools and resources they need. That also includes needing each other, networking with each other. So the foundation, the seeds were the same. The garden was going to have to get a lot bigger, and the soil was going to have to be tilled differently. And that became the partner and profits meeting and migrated into prime time. And if you think about a current prime time and the most recent prime time somebody would have been at recently, you know, bringing together all the members, bringing together all the vendors, bringing together all the educational opportunities, bringing together all the networking opportunities. Those basic tenets make prime time work for everybody and deliver value and scale for the members, for the vendors, for all of us in the industry to participate. And that's why today, a lot of those meetings that Doug mentioned earlier, CES, those meetings, or other trade shows, some of those still exist, but many members don't necessarily go to them because they go to prime time which is where they get all that exposure to products and programs and pricing, promotion, training, and networking. And that really helps them. And if you're a modest sized member of Nationwide with one store or under 50 employees, and a large member, a large percentage of Nationwide members are, well, you can't necessarily go to a meeting every single month just to stay connected. Primetime helps deliver a lot of that value.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't hurt that you know, there's coverage out the wazoo of those other shows these days too. You can, you know, log on to any social media site around the times of those shows, and you'll see thousands of articles. So it feels like you're there anyway. So you know, spare your time and go to the ones that you feel like matter. And like,
that's right.
Nice to see that Primetime, you know, is obviously up there for a lot of the members of Nationwide. Interesting question to ask you, Rick. You mentioned being at that Partners for Profit, you know, being that being one of your first shows. What do you remember as far as, you know, what vendors were there and you know, any that stand out that you know might still ring a bell to some members today?
Well, some of the vendors today, of course, were there, but it was a more modest sized show with less vendors. But if you remember what the name of the organization was at that time, as Doug shared, is Nationwide Television and Appliance. So there was a higher propensity toward electronics at that time. And of course, electronics was fun, exciting, new, and innovative, whether it was pre-90s of color TV or whether it was audio or whether it was other products or whether it was the early days of cell phones and early days of computers. And electronics played a big active role. But and while many of the vendors that are there today, it's even more interesting to think about the vendors that were there that are no longer there. When I first joined Nationwide as part of the staff, Zenith was one of the big vendors, and members really supported the brand. Amana was a separate company and a separate entity doing hundreds of millions of dollars with member dealers. Maytag was a separate company, not a division of Whirlpool. So many of the brands, even with a more modest size Nationwide, a more modest size Primetime, many of the brands we know today have aggregated under other umbrellas. Some have come, some have gone. But there were many vendors and many categories there. And it wasn't just all big vendors. In fact, Primetime today, where you have a giant show floor, maybe it's 200,000 square feet, and some of the biggest vendors might take 10 or 20,000 square feet to put up their display and meet with the members. And we also had separate show floors for the more modest size vendors or new product ideas. We called them complimentary vendor days. Sometimes we set up a separate show floor. Sometimes we turned the show floor overnight.
Wow.
And set up one category of product and overnight flip to the other category of product. So
could you imagine doing that today and having, you know, we have what, 3 days of the show, and, you know, I know it's a massive show floor. So I know, you know, maybe a little bit more difficult to picture today, but like going from one day where it's all the appliance booths to overnight welcoming all the furniture dealers in and mattress dealers.
I actually could imagine it, but I couldn't convince anybody to do it. Right. It takes so long to set it up, and it takes so much space on the show floor. It may not be a practical thing, but the fact of the matter is when you're growing, you try different things. And today, these vendors that we might have called complementary vendors are the vendors that add not just a lot of Primetime color, but they bring new and exciting, not just promotional ideas, but maybe marketing ideas or extended categories of platforms for members to grow their business. Think about AT&T. That was an idea a few shows ago. Today, it's a big and important piece of many of the members' wireless business. 10 years ago or 15 years ago, furniture and bedding was a much more modest proportion of Primetime. And today it's a major portion of everybody's Primetime business and everyone's Nationwide business, or many members' Nationwide business. So things change over time, and we scale up to address the opportunity. And I think that's great. Change over the years has proven to be very good for Nationwide members and very good for Nationwide. And it sometimes doesn't look like it, but I have learned through experience that change ends up being a pretty good thing. You just got to find out which part of that change is really going to be the good one. Well, I am sure everybody feels as we move into virtual prime time and then back into normal prime times in 2021 and beyond, those changes will be welcome too.
Oh, absolutely. Before we start, you know, kind of looking ahead a little bit, I want to ask you too, you know, to your point about all the change and things that, you know, have happened over the years. You talked about it earlier too, how, you know, there wasn't Amazon and e-commerce, digital marketing strategies weren't necessarily thought of at those early meetings as challenges that you guys would come together and talk about. So what were some of the early things that, you know, retail members would come to these shows for and talk about, you know, that maybe they're not talking about today? What were some of those early challenges that, retailers faced, aside from just trying to compete with Sears or other big box stores in that way? What were some of the early NLAs that you would attend that maybe we're not seeing today?
Well, NLA, actually, before NLA, we had plenty of educational sessions, and then we created a platform called Primetime University. And Primetime University was the precursor to NLA, but it also didn't just focus on making us better retailers or making us better merchants. It also focused on introducing new and exciting business categories, new and exciting platforms for growth, new vendors, new technologies. So it's been very helpful to seed new ideas. Imagine, if you will, today, it's hard to envision if you go to a prime time today, but not too many years ago, we had prime time universities or nationwide learning academies to introduce members to the idea of thinking about getting into betting. Today, a very high percentage of members merchandise betting. We had opportunities to have members consider getting into these big flat televisions, and they're going to get really big screens. So whether it's computers or other communications devices, prime time, learning academies are great opportunities to communicate new and exciting ideas. So I think it's been really good for everyone, and it continues to offer opportunities to introduce new and exciting platform. So the learning academies, I think, have been really great. I think that if you go back and ask members in recent data, they'll even tell you it's one of the top reasons people come to Primetime, is they absolutely want to learn to not only be a better retailer, but learn about new and exciting opportunities that can help them build a better, more stable business, an opportunity to grow their platform.
Oh, that's awesome. And no easy way to transition to just talking about numbers, but Doug, I want to bring you back in. And we talked about that homework at the beginning that you did. You pulled together some really awesome information when we talk about the history of Primetime, kind of what it's looked like, the number of cities. I know you've got some really cool stats that I want to make sure we get to.
Yeah, absolutely. As Rick was talking about, you know, the partner and profit meeting was in Orlando, but then we technically, when the Primetime thing, we went to Dallas in August of 1992. And somebody who's been with us from that time helping with the shows is Wayne Thomas and Sterling Events. And to be able to go back and lean on him and his team, he was able to get me some numbers from that first Primetime.
Awesome.
So our August 1992 show, we had over 100 member companies.
Wow.
I think he said there was like 610 total member and vendor attendees. So even then, that's a good size show, well represented, over 100 members, over 300 vendors, really cool stuff. So even from the first show, and, you know, not to get ahead of ourselves, but we just got done with Houston. And the Houston by the numbers, I think we were at 3,700 member, vendor, and, you know, attendees. So from the first show at 600 to this show at 3,700, as Rick was talking about, it's still, you know, it's gotten bigger, and it has, but it's still about networking. It's still about, you know, learning new products. It's still about all those same principles that the founders of Nationwide started with all this. They're still there. That's what's amazing about the story. You know, yes, the numbers get bigger and the cities grow and the 2000 square feet, all that. But it's still, you know, rooted in helping independent retail. So really cool stuff to look at the numbers, but yeah, officially 56 prime times, 56, you know, official prime times. You know, we've been to, I think, 9 states, 11 total cities. Las Vegas is number one.
By far.
Been to Las Vegas 19 times. Wow. over the
That's almost a third of the shows.
More
than a third of the shows. 56, yeah,
it's by far the winner.
Yeah.
Orlando and Dallas are at 10 apiece, I believe. So been to Orlando and Dallas a lot, and then New Orleans, where we were for the 55th prime time, is at 8. But you know, one of the exciting things is, you know, as we talk about this virtual historic primetime, it's really cool. When we move into 2021, we go into some new cities, which is always exciting as well. We're going to, you know, hopefully in March be in Denver, a new city, new state, very cool. And we have Phoenix on the schedule coming into the future as well. We're going to go to Nashville again. Nashville, we've been to a couple of times.
Something cool about that. I was looking ahead at the dates over the next couple of years, and you know, typically, we find ourselves at either large hotel casino venues, particularly with Vegas, or you know, I know the Gaylords have been there. But you start looking down the road at some of these events, and there it's actually, you know, Nashville. We move from the Gaylord, I think we're going to next year, into in 2022 or 23, we'll be at the Music City Center.
Exactly.
Center.
Yeah, 23 and 25 downtown Nashville. So
yeah.
Really cool stuff, similar to what we did in Houston, to be able to be downtown there with, you know. So yes, you know, very exciting stuff coming up. You know, to see some new cities and get stuff, get some new experiences to add to our primetime history. But you know, it's amazing. When you started looking at the numbers, and they say, I really appreciate them for being able to pull those, that we've had so many, you know, attendees and so much, you know, we were talking about some of the changes and some of the things that stays the same. We've had, you know, so many speakers from all different areas of life. You know, we've had athletes, you know, we caught I can remember a prime time of a keynote with Roger Staubach throwing a touchdown pass to a member. You know, I mean, that's an early memory of mine, one of my early prime times. And, you know, we've had, you know, politicians and business leaders and
astronaut.
Entertainers.
Don't forget the astronaut.
An astronaut.
That's right.
So
actually, we had 2 astronauts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 2 astronauts.
Tell us the first one, Rick.
Yeah.
I wasn't in the room at the time, but I heard Buzz Aldrin address the nationwide membership way back when.
Wow.
And so we've had some great keynote speakers, very motivational, very focused, and some that in the planning is, well, I'm not sure how this is, but you know what? They're always awesome. Some are a little more awesome than others, but they're always awesome. They're very well vetted. They've always got a great message. They work hard at their presentation. And one of the things that the leadership has known is that our members are going to leave their store and they're going to come to this meeting. And many members, whether they're larger members or more modest sized members, or for even that matter, vendor partners, leaving their store and getting some time away is a tough thing to do. So these great meetings in these great cities and these great opportunities to meet people, to network, to have some social interaction, to find some great deals, some learn some things about their business, to catch up with another retailer friend that they met at the last prime time, it's mission critical. And these great cities, these great speakers, these great educational opportunities, they deliver on that promise to bring value. Someone's taken a week away from their business and they do that twice a year, and then maybe they throw a little family time in there, and they can't take much else off away from their business. They've got a life to lead. So it's really important that we have these great speakers. So you're absolutely right. Some of the primetime speakers and some of the cities have been fantastic, and they really have. And, you know, we've had a mixed need over the years as Nationwide has grown and as primetime has grown. to understand that we need cities that have the facilities that are
right.
robust enough to have a growing nationwide meeting and service our large vendors and our large members, while at the same time watching the budget for our more modest sized members who might be financially constrained, and to make sure everybody had something they can walk away with. You mentioned Vegas. Well, Vegas delivered on a lot of those promises, right? New Orleans delivered on a lot of those promises over the years. But these new and exciting cities are going to deliver that change that we're talking about. And as I said, Nationwide usually finds out change is really good and is good for Nationwide, Nationwide members, Nationwide vendors, and everyone has fun with it. So when we think about Denver, we think about going back to Nashville, we think about Phoenix, I think these are going to be some great, new, fun, and exciting prime times that members are really going to like.
Thinking about those cities, is there, you know, to each of you, and I'll think about it as you guys are talking and throw my own answer out there, but is there a city that stands out to you as to, you know, who's kind of, not to, you know, not to throw favorites to a certain city, but maybe even a specific prime time where, you know, you think to like what city really pulled out the stops or the experience was just so different that, you know, it stands out?
I'll jump on this one. My first is in 2001 in August. And, you know, it was my first trip to Vegas. I was still, you know, fairly young. And so I, you know, remember it vividly, you know, just being blown away. And I think we had 50,000 square feet that day.
Wow.
At the Caesars, you know, convention hall at the time. So, so I think about that first one. And then I think about, you know, 3 years later in, February of 2004. And we went to New Orleans, which we had been to before. However, we did it at the Superdome. And to go from that very first show at 50,000 square feet to walk in to this, you know, iconic building that has hosted, you know, Super Bowls and, you know, and not to be biased, but as a kid from North Carolina, Michael Jordan hit a game winning shot in the NCAA tournament on this floor. And here we are. And it was amazing, you know, and, you know, we had these great images and stuff like that. So it's been those are some of the ones that really stand out. Obviously my first one, but that prime time in New Orleans was pretty special there in the Superdome also.
That prime time in New Orleans was very special, but there's a little backstory there that you might find entertaining. At that time, Nationwide had a little bit smaller staff than it does today. And I was one of the people, along with my buddy Gershon, that was sent to the Dome to go check this out as a venue for primetime. Primetime had already developed into a platform, into a show that frankly had a little bit of class to it, that really was always going to be at a nice place. And we were going to always treat our members and our vendors right. We're gonna have great food, great events. You mentioned Sterling earlier. They made sure that we treated members right. One thing I learned very early at Nationwide is Nationwide can be forgiven for not doing something, but not being forgiven for not doing it well. So Nationwide went out of its way to do things really well. So we got sent down to New Orleans to check out the Superdome, and I went down there with my yellow pad, and they gave us a tour of the entire dome. And of course, they took us in the locker rooms and they took us in the back rooms, and it smelled like a stadium. And then they showed us these giant, and I made 3 pages of notes with my mind in place that Nationwide has to have a classy, classy place and a classy show. And I had 3 pages of notes, and a bunch of it is why this isn't up to Nationwide standards. And we got back to the office. We sat down with the guy you mentioned earlier, Lee Gutman, the president of Nationwide. And I had my notes. And we were 3 minutes into the meeting, and I realized, this guy really wants to do this meeting at the Dome. I tore up my notes. Yes, sir, it's going to be awesome. And it was awesome. And it was just a tremendous meeting. It was a different kind of meeting. As I mentioned, change is usually good for Nationwide, but that New Orleans meeting was fantastic. It gave everyone some fun, some entertainment. It was a change in venue. It was different. People loved it. We had members showed up. So people loved New Orleans too. And it was a good, memorable time. One of the reasons people like Vegas is it can deliver things to everybody. It can deliver, you want a big fancy meal? Go have a big fancy meal. You want to go to the casino? Go to the casino. You want to have a great show floor, we can have a great show floor. So people love Vegas too, but as I mentioned earlier, if they're leaving their business, they need to go home with some memories too. It can't just be all business. It's got to be good networking, good relationships, some good primetime fun, and some fun with their friends at Nationwide and Primetime. So among the Nationwide family. So that's Vegas has been a very popular city for that too, but the more new and exciting cities we try, the more new memories they can create.
Definitely. And I'll call out, you know, I was thinking about New Orleans, and the New Orleans show most recently last August was my first. I had spent a day in New Orleans before. I know it was a little bit of a different experience, you know, being there for almost a week and getting to, you know, experience that convention center, which I swear is a mile long. It's enormous. So it's something, but I actually, I want to call out Nashville because my first prime time that I attended as a member of the trade press at the time was in 2016. I think it was in Nashville in August. And you know, that it was outside, it was at the Gaylord. So that was my first experience staying in a Gaylord. So that was a bit, exciting in its own right. So to see what how they turn sort of this greenhouse experience into a hotel, you know, combined with a convention center was really cool. But then, you know, being outside of Nashville, you still got the Nashville experience because the Grand Ole Opry, I know there was an event there, and just seeing how everything can kind of come together, you know, it's awesome. So, and I'll be interested to see, you know, we talked about it already, but moving from the Gaylord into downtown Nashville and kind of how that experience is different. Nashville is a city I love. You know, I'm in Philly myself, but I've been to Nashville a couple of times I know what Broadway's like and what kind of fun that can be. So I know if you know, you talk about Nationwide doing things classy, I look forward to seeing, you know, how we take advantage of being in a city that's as vibrant and, you know, awesome as downtown Nashville. So that'll be something to look forward to for sure. Transitioning a little bit, you know, we talked about favorite cities. How about, you know, we mentioned keynotes a little bit. Do you have a favorite keynote that stands out, you know, over these prime times?
So once again, you want to go ahead? Yeah, no, I would say once again, I'm maybe going to be biased because it's North Carolina based, but we had a keynote speaker from a guy who I would never heard of. I'm going ahead and go, you know, as soon as you see somebody, you're like, I'm this is going to be tough. And within like 30 seconds, he had grabbed me and it's Nito. I think it's Cuban, who is the president of High Point University here, you know, where we're located. And his story was fascinating because he had come with nothing to America and gone to High Point College at the time, and then had gotten to the business world and had done some really cool stuff. And then High Point asked him to come back. And he had essentially come back with the mindset of, I'm going to make this the best university there is, because that's what you have to do, you know, and he did. And it's amazing. And his speech was just incredible. And I was like, and granted, like Rick was saying, we've seen so many. I counted it up. I've been to 38 shows, which means I've probably seen 38 keynotes. But, you know, I remember the people, but that one actually stood out because it was like, you know, something that you didn't expect that turned out really, really good. So I'm going to go with Nito. And just to be fair, he hosts these big time speeches on the High Point University campus, too, that are broadcast as well. It's really good stuff.
So I got to tell you, I did some quick math. And if I got it right, I think I've been at 53 prime times. So I would not want to call out one keynote speaker as better than the next. Many of them were just plain awesome. And frankly, a few of them I heard about being awesome from the members because I was busy working the meeting as part of the staff to make sure that they had a great meeting. But there were great moments like watching our president throw the ball. Roger Staubach is one you mentioned there. Meeting Jack Welch, going to Nashville, taking pictures with celebrity. Recently, having the military admiral address us, or even most recently meeting that astronaut. They were just some great keynote speakers. And whether they're virtual, like the upcoming primetime, or whether it's going to be live again in Denver or Nashville in 2021. These are really great opportunities. They've been great speakers, and look forward to them every single time.
The name slipped in my mind, but it was the Southwest. I think it was the chief, was it the CEO, the chief marketing officer that was at in Vegas only a couple of years ago.
Right.
You know,
he had been the Southwest, yes, chief marketing officer. Yeah.
So the reason he stands out is because that, like you mentioned, Rick, I mean, there's so many keynotes. I think they're all, you know, they all stand out for their own reasons, but that was one where that's the keynote that to me stands out, you know, as one that had probably the most actionable information and, you know, to-dos that retailers could take back to their businesses like that day and put into place. And, you know, I think Southwest has that reputation as the airline of you know, in keeping people happy. You know, they're very down to earth. No pun intended on that, I think, as an airline. But, you know, they do a great job of, you know, customer service, and a lot of that has to do with the marketing, you know, how they market to their customers and, you know, keeping people happy. So I know that's the reason that one stands out is just because it had a lot of little tidbits that he dropped throughout the keynote that, you know, things that they were doing at Southwest that, you know, retailers could easily adopt in their own practices. I think a lot of it was like handwritten letters to, you know, customers and things like that. So, which I know are things that Nationwide, you know, we've since adopted. So I don't know how much of an impact his keynote specifically had on Nationwide, but, you know, he certainly stood out in my mind. So lots of great keynotes. So I always look forward to that portion of the show. And, you know, anytime you can get the, an astronaut onto a podcast,
there you go.
I'll be happy. You'll make me happy as an interviewer. So
there you go.
No, but we'll wrap it up a little bit. You know, is there a favorite memory that stands out? I know we kind of, you talk about cities and you talk about keynotes. Those are kind of memories in their own right. But do you guys have a specific memory from primetime that stands out to you that, you know, we can't go a podcast without talking about?
I think there's some bloopers that are worthwhile. Like the time we gave a university presentation in the evening. We had a whole stage full of computer professionals, the best of the best, making sure all of our members knew the benefits of being in computer retailing. And this was at the Dallas Anatole, and there's a little theater up in the front, and it was a packed room. And I asked, does anybody need a break? Halfway through, I gave them all a break, and most people didn't come back. Never repeated that mistake. So the bloopers you remember, even though it was a great meeting, it was late at night. There are other funny moments, like one of the early meetings, we had a 5 a.m. wake-up session. We literally had such a busy schedule that we passed out little boxes of Wheaties, if I remember it right. We had a marching band come open the show floor. We had all the members on the show floor at 5 a.m. So we've had some great, fun, and exciting things, but the bloopers end up more memorable for me, you know. And the members are always fantastic. Even when they come up to me and say, this was really fun, don't ever do 5 a.m. again. But they also say it with a smile.
That's awesome.
Let me highlight a blooper and a favorite. So my blooper comes back to a Vegas show, to where we had gotten to the point where we had outgrown Caesars. We went one last time. And the way, you know, Caesars was, hey, we've got this 50,000 square foot, but we can put a 20,000 square foot tent as well up. And that's where we were going to be. That's where our station was. And I can remember thinking, oh, this is going to be great. It's a tent in August in Las Vegas. And no, it's air conditioned, Doug. It'll be great. So we fast forward to the show. And I believe it was the first day of the show, the air conditioning system went out at Caesars. Had a pipe blow or something. So there was no air condition on the campus there, except for in the tent that we had all been complaining about. So I always thought I think that was 03, one of my early shows. But the other one that jumps out, the thing that I really, you know, that's special to me is I got asked to teach. I worked in Nationwide developing websites and such like that, and I was asked to teach how to turn a a website into a mobile version. That's showing how far back it was. I think it was 7 years ago. And it was pretty exciting, you know, and I got to do it. And it led to being able to be the, you know, these primetime university / NLA classes. And some of my best memories are transitioning those to like these member focused versions, to where we get to not necessarily lead a class, but be more of a moderator. And we have members on the stage and it's a question and answer. And those are some of my favorite memories because it's members helping members. You know, it's what we talked about from the beginning of why we came together as an organization with this networking and to learn. And here we are, you know, 50 years into the organization and 56 primetimes in, still doing the same thing because that's the important things. And that's very special to me.
Oh, that's awesome. I fortunately don't have any, you know, only one show as a member of the Nationwide team. So no bloopers yet that I can think of. And, you know, so I'll hold off on those. But the one, it does come pre being a member of Nationwide, you know, a favorite memory. One that I think really cemented what, you know, it means to be part of Nationwide. And it kind of shows how awesome the membership is. And, you know, it kind of gives you that drive to want to get up and work for these guys every day. And I know they're probably tired of hearing about this at this point. They want to get past it. But, you know, it was in Vegas again, I think the same prime time with the CMO from Southwest, seeing the presentation of the money raised for Hudson's and the check delivered to them, the big check on stage is one that, you know, not often do you get the big feels at a show when you're attending a show as a member of the trade media. And, you know, not that it's very kumbaya-ish, but just to see how awesome, you know, a collective can be when they come together for one of their own. And that is certainly a memory that stands out and kind of, I don't know if they, I can't imagine they were expecting anything like that, but just to see the shock on their face when, you know, they get handed, I think it was $10,000 and then by Whirlpool and then Nationwide matched it and with another 10, just how awesome it was for that to happen for them at a time when they were dealing with the California wildfires and losing one of their stores. And just how awesome the members are to be able to come together and do something like that for, and I know that, you know, that permeates down throughout the rest of prime times with things like No Child Hungry and things That. So just the service that, you know, that members are willing to, you know, do and how they contribute their time at shows when they're on the road, you know, trying to benefit their own business and they still think about others a lot. So that's one that definitely stands out to me. So, hey, we've talked a lot about primetime, a lot of primetime talk. And, you know, I appreciate you guys, you know, doing your homework first of all, and pulling these numbers and sharing these stories. So I know we've got a lot to look forward to over, you know, the next couple of weeks as we dive into virtual prime time and preparing for that and getting off what I know is going to be a unique experience. So, and then when we get to finally all get back together, you know, hopefully in fingers crossed in Denver in March, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So we'll look forward to it. Absolutely.
Yeah. So thank you. Thank you again for taking the time and, you know, hope to see you guys soon in person.
That's right. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks for the trip down memory lane.
Awesome. And a huge thanks again to Rick and Doug for taking time and, you know, sharing some of those great stories and, you know, their insights on primetime, the early days to how it's evolved and kind of what we've got moving forward. So look forward to, you know, this first ever virtual primetime that we're coming up on and seeing how things roll. And then, you know, eventually, of course, getting back together and getting back to a little bit of normalcy with this, you know, with our future primetimes as we look ahead to Denver and what's to come down the line. But as always, appreciate you taking the time to listen to the Independent Thinking Podcast, and we will catch you next time.